Last 2 weeks, I've spoken to the church and how we are to work in unity, both externally and internally. And my primary messages over the last 2 weeks have been this. It's how we are to respond to each other internally. I appreciate the response to the invitation several times or several weeks ago, how we responded to each other's needs. I remember having a conversation with some people following that week. And they said, you know, Brother Wayne, says, I've been in church here for 4 or 5 years, and I've never known their name, but I went that Sunday during that invitation, and I went and asked them what their name was. And see, internally, we, as a church of a body of believers, we're supposed to know who we're serving with. Scripture tells us that we're to encourage one another, that we're to love one another, that we are to help another along. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13 and verse 35 that they will know that we are His disciples if we show love one to another. So one of the things in the Scriptures, when we're talking about the church, one of the internal things that we're to do as a church, we are to know who serves alongside of us. We should know what's going on inside of our lives. We should be encouraging one another. We should be building each other up. That is the internal part of what the body of Christ is to do. And in doing that, we will let the light of Jesus shine into the world that they may see Jesus Christ in us. I like what the Bible tells us, that this is how they, the world, will know that we are His disciples. Last week we looked at how the church must have a vision and how each one of us have a part in that vision. In Proverbs 29 and 18, it tells us a people without a vision perish, and the church is supposed to have that vision. The title of the message the week prior to that, if you'll remember, was How to Wash Feet. Now, we read the scripture that talked about how Jesus washed feet and He set an example for us to follow. It's not that we're fixing to pull out basins of water or a foot tub of water or a bowl of water and wash each other's feet, but we are to care one for another. That is how the church is to operate. So what I want to do this morning, I want us to look at an Old Testament illustration. Now, most of you already know one of my favorite verses in the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says that we are to read and apply those things that were written aforetime, to use them as examples to increase our hope, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what are those things that were written aforetime? What is Paul talking about there? The Old Testament. I believe this morning, this is the perfect message to end this series of messages by working in the church. So this is what I want to do this morning. I want to first, if the key verse that I'm going to look at this morning is going to be found in Exodus 17 and verse 8. So if you will, go ahead and turn there. But I need to give us a little history before this takes place. Let me tell you what is going on when we read these verses in Exodus chapter 17. How many of you know who Moses is? All right. So Moses, when we find this is what's going on. Moses had led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. They've been captives there for 400 plus years. When this is written, they have already crossed the Red Sea. They are now about 3 months into their trek across the desert, going to the Promised Land. Now, a lot of things happened here in this three-month period, all right? But they're 3 months into their journey going to the Promised Land, and these are some of the things that God has already done in this three-month period. They've gone up right after they got out of the Red Sea. They've noticed that God has destroyed the enemies against them, and they saw them washing up on the bank. But they don't get very far over there, and they run out of water. Now, you estimate, and this is the estimation, between 2 and 6 million people walking out across the desert. I don't know about you. I like drinking water. I forget the estimation when they were talking about how much water it would take not only to have water for all of the people, the 2 to 6 million, but also water for all of the livestock, the sheep, everything that is coming out of there. It is an amazing thing how much water would have had to be taken on a daily basis. They're carrying this water. So they begin to complain to Moses, and they said, hey, we're out here, and we're out here, and we're wondering why you led us into this desert just for us to die. They walk up on a watering hole, and they get to this water hole, and they begin to drink from this water, and it's bitter, and it's not drinkable. So Moses cries out to God and said, God, they're at the point of wanting to stone me. What am I to do? And he says, take this branch and you throw it into the water hole and it will make the water sweet. I was over in Indonesia working at an orphanage there, and they were showing me around the property, and they were showing me how they had to grow their own vegetables and all the things that were taking place around there. And they walked up to this tree, and he says, this is our purifying tree. And I said, what's that mean? He says, you can go to any creek, any river, any lake of water, and you can take a gallon of water out, and you take limbs off of this tree, and you swirl them around into that water, and it will purify and it will cleanse the water. I was so amazed. That's exactly what happened in this. God told him, he says, go cut that tree down. You throw those branches in the water, and the water will be drinkable. This is something that took place as they're coming out. Another thing that took place, they get out there and they're beginning to run out of food, and the people begin to complain. And God tells Moses, he says, you tell them in the morning when they get up, there's going to be manna on the ground. All they got to do is go pick it up. The people could again, this is a 3-month period. Again, the people begin to complain, said, well, why don't we just go back to Egypt? At Egypt, we got to sit around pots of meat. We haven't had any meat in 3 months. God says, well, I'll solve that problem. I'll send you quail. They would go out in the morning. There would be quail all around the ground, and they would take those quail, and they would pick them up. Something else took place. They continued to go across this desert. As they continued to go across this desert, one of the things that they noticed was that they run out of water again. So this is what God told them. God says, hey, take that rod. Take that rod that you have in your hand. Go to this rock. Strike this rock, and water will come out of that rock. That is exactly what took place. It took water, and it came out of the rock. We have worked on it, worked on it, worked on it. You're going to have a hard time getting volume to come out of that. Are y'all not able to hear it in the nursery? I'll work on it again is all I can tell you. Yeah, it's a problem we've worked on for 6 months. Yeah, you're right. Since you were back there, we've worked on that system. I know. I don't blame her. They're working in the nursery, and we have a speaker back there, and we can't figure out how to get it to work right. You're welcome. So what we find is God has given Moses this rod, and it says, he says he takes the rod, he strikes a rock, water comes out, and he provides. Listen, water out of a rock for 2 to 6 million people, also all the animals and all the staff that they have, and they provide rock. Understand that the children of Israel, while they were in Egypt, they have witnessed plagues, these 10 plagues. They have witnessed these things over and over and over and over, and they continue to get fretful. They continue to complain. They have seen God show out in their lives over and over and over and over. And I don't know why they don't trust God. Do y'all understand that? Man, no, all of us just trust God for everything, don't we? We serve an awesome God. We don't complain. We don't fuss. We don't doubt. No, we're human beings just like those Israelites. We see this nation of people now as Moses is leading these 2 to 6 million people out of Egypt. They're crossing the desert. They come up to a group of people that are living in the area. That group of people are called the Amaleks, the Amaleks. Okay, these people feel threatened by Israel coming. And these people have decided to do. They've decided to come up and fight against the nation of Israel. So this is what's leading up to what we're fixing to read. Understand, they've only been coming out of Egypt for about 3 months, and the people of Israel, this is what they think is about to happen. God, you have brought us out here in the desert. Here is this army that is coming up against us. You've just brought us out here to die. Again, the people are complaining. Let's look what the scripture says. Look in Exodus 17 and verse number 8. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8. Then came Amalek. This is the people that are feel threatened. And fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Did y'all notice what he called that rod that was in Moses' hand? What did he call it? It's the rod of God in thine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited or defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. We just read this remembrance of this story because God told Moses to write this down. So in 2019, in the month of October at Soda Baptist Church, we could be reminded of what God done in that day. Now you know why Johnny is standing up here. The only two people in this sanctuary that knew that Johnny was going to be standing up there was me and Johnny. I want you to know I approve of Kevin Harbuck seeing the struggles that Johnny was having. And no one told Kevin Harbuck to come up here. Mark DeShazzo saw the struggles that Johnny was having. Nobody asked Mark DeShazzo to come up here and help Johnny. Stephen Harbuck did not know what scripture I was about to read, but he saw Johnny struggling, and he came up here to assist Johnny and help him in the struggle and the call that God has called him to do. He's not to stand alone. Now listen, I feel like I could just offer the invitation almost right now, because I think you can see the picture in the Old Testament of what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to come beside each one another. The rod of God that is being held up here in the scriptures, where Moses is holding up the rod of God, is a tool that is used by God to show the nations around them that there is a God in Israel. Listen, Egypt, as a result of God bringing the plagues on the nation of Israel, I want you to know, Egypt knew that there was a God in Israel. And that is what is being proclaimed here today. This is simply a tool. I want to go back, and if you'll notice, I've got these references here in Exodus, from Exodus 4, 7, 8, 10. When you start seeing those, all those references in 4 through chapter 14, what you're going to see is this is every time that God uses the rod of God for an example. Especially when you go to Exodus chapter 4, this is what you're going to find. In Exodus chapter 4, in the first five verses there, this is where Moses is standing before the burning bush. If you remember, what did we sang that song, Standing on Holy Ground. What did God tell Moses to do when he got there in front of the bush? Take off your shoes. So Moses is having a conversation with God, and this happens. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, it says, And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, talking about the nation of Israel, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto you. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, It's a rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Does anybody understand that part right there? Huh? Moses fled before it. Keep this in mind. He don't have them snake-skinned boots that keep you from getting bit. He's standing there barefooted. He takes this rod and he throws it on the ground and the thing turns into a snake. God, you wanted this rod here. It's yours. You can have it. I don't want it back. All right? I don't know if you've ever heard David Ring preach about this. He is deathly afraid of snakes, and my goodness, he stays on that point for quite a while. But he goes on to say, And the Lord said unto Moses, Now put forth thine hand, take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. He says, Moses, I want you to take this rod, and I want you to use it as a tool to prove to everybody that there is a God in the nation of Israel. He says, when I take you before Pharaoh, I'm going to have you throw that rod down, and it's going to turn into a snake, and then you're going to grab it by the tail, and it's going to turn back into a rod. He says, that's going to be proof that I'm doing work in your life. We see that time and time again. When we look in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, And when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. I believe everybody knows that event that took place. He threw it down. And what happened to some of the people that worked for Pharaoh, those which, what did they do? They threw down their rods too. What did they turn into? But what did God's rod do? Devoured those serpents. Devoured all of them. And listen, I could stop right here and preach the rest of the day on this. Anything that God gives you, any tool that God gives you, is greater than the tools of the devil. Is greater than the tools of our enemy. So we need to keep that in mind. He shows these examples over and over and over. Another time when we talked about when they were doing the plagues, when Moses was doing the plagues in Egypt, in Exodus 7 and 20, he smote the water of the river with the rod of God. It became blood. When we look in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 23, it says that he pointed the rod unto heaven, and thunder and hail mingled with fire came upon the nation of Egypt and devoured the land. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 13, the same rod who struck the ground, and locusts came from the east and devoured the land. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 16, it says God or Moses stretched out the rod over the water and the Red Seas were parted. Understand, the rod that is represented here is the rod of God, and the rod of God was just simply a tool. Listen, it was a tool that was used by God to let the nations know that there was a God in Israel. The point I want to make this morning is this. The church is a tool that is used by God in our generation to show the world that there is a true God in heaven, that He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross, to shed His blood for the sins of the world, and that He rose again to reconcile us unto Himself, that we might have everlasting life. And he has chosen the church to be the tool that lifts each other up so that we can show the world who Jesus Christ is. I want us to look at a verse in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse number 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 1, look in verse 21. It tells us there, it says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet. Who is his feet? Jesus. And he hath put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I want everybody to look at the clock back there, because I've done closed my Bibles, and this is unheard of for me to be done before 12 o'clock. Don't get too jumpy. I'm not done yet. I think I've got the message across that God took a stick, a piece of wood, and he used it as a tool to let the world know that there was truly a God. He used that stick, just like I said, to bring locusts, to part seas, to bring water from rocks. He done all of those things so that he might be made known in the land. Today, that stick up there, that stick represents the church. What is so phenomenal, what if Moses had gone to the top of that mountain and he says, oh guys, y'all just stay down here. I'm strong enough to do this on my own. What if Hur and Aaron had not gone to the top of that mountain with Moses? What would have been the results of the battle? They would have been defeated because Moses was not able to do it on his own. I sat there this morning and I said, it can either be a flop or it can be a great message. And it depends on whether this church recognizes that Johnny has not the ability to stand there for a whole hour on his own. And I have to be honest, I kind of got a little distracted there when I saw Kevin get up, and I was like, oh, Kevin must be going over there to turn the fan on for somebody. And then he got out of my eyesight, and I did not realize that Kevin had gone up to help Johnny. I kind of forgot that Johnny was back there. And then directly I saw Mark, and I saw Mark going. And let me tell you how proud this makes me. The first two men that came to assist, that came to Johnny's need, and Johnny had a great need, were two deacons in our church. Because see, that is a call that we have as leaders in this church, to recognize the needs and to respond. Let me tell you something else that I'm proud of. I'm proud to see Stephen Harbuck come up there, a young man that was raised in our youth group, raised by a godly mama and a daddy. And when he saw a need, he, just like his daddy, following the example of his daddy, responds and comes forward. I was telling our church Wednesday night that our enemy has been very, very active in our church this last week. And I'm not fixing to go into any details about any of them. But I realized this morning that we've got families in our church, we've got situations in our church that are standing on that mountaintop right now with their arms held up to an almighty God. And they're saying, God, this situation I'm praying for, see, this is a bold invitation. Sometimes the only way that we as people can let other people know that our arms are getting weak and our strength is wavering is for us to stand and hold our arms up. When Aaron and Hur saw Moses getting weak, he said, here, let's come and pull a rock up so that he can sit on it because he's been standing so long. After that didn't work, they said, hey, hurry, you grab that arm over there and I'll grab this arm over here and we're going to hold each other up so that the battle that's going on, that we will find victory in the battle. There's some folks in our church that are fighting battles with their parents who are dying or sick or ill. And I want to thank you folks that ask, that call, and tell my wife that we're praying for your dad because we know that he's sick and that he is in the dying process. I want to say thank you for that encouragement. You don't even realize how much that means to my wife when you call and you undergird her and you encourage her and you say, I'm here for you, and you're holding her arm up during this time and period in her life. And I have to tell you, many of you are going through similar situations. It may not be sickness, it may not be death, but there's a situation that the enemy is battling against you, and sometimes we grow weary. And I believe this scripture is telling us as a church, it's time for us to look around, to find the situations that are taking place in our homes and in our lives. And sometimes nobody knows unless you raise your hands and say, hey, I'm in this battle. Would you come and pray with me? Will you come and encourage me? And part of the message, the invitation this morning is going to be for you. If you need someone else's prayer support, if you need someone to undergird you, it's for you to just simply lift your hands. And for some of us, that invitation is going to be for us to look around and go, you know what? I'm going to go pray for him. I'm going to go pray for her. It's kind of like I was teaching this morning in our Sunday school class. It doesn't do us a whole lot of good to know everything that the Word of God says if we do not practice what the Word of God says. We are living in a time that we need to support and be there for one another more than we've ever supported and been there for one another. I'm fixing to throw that in there. We have the Lord's Supper here. We do it on Sunday nights. And I hate to say it, but it is normally a poorly attended service because it is on a Sunday night. And a lot of people do not find it very important. And as a result of that, there is a weakness in the body because we don't find what the Lord Jesus tells us that we should do to strengthen our church body. We don't find it very important. Well, that is what caused the body of believers at this just local New Testament church. He calls us to do that to strengthen one another. That's what he calls us to do. So I encourage you to attend that service tonight. But for the invitation this morning, I'm asking you to respond just like these men have responded this morning. Before the invitation was ever offered, they saw a need and they responded immediately to the need. The Word of God tells us to love one another, encourage one another, to lift one another up. And one of the examples He gives us is the tool of that stick. Hey, listen, it was just a stick. It was just wood. What made it powerful was that God used it. What made it powerful is that Moses said, okay, here, I give that to you. We sing an invitation song, I surrender all. That, hey, God, I'm giving you my situation. I'm giving you my circumstance. So this morning, this is the call for invitation. If you have a need this morning, that you need someone to come and pray and lift you up and encourage you, during this invitation time, you simply lift your hands. If everything seems to be going okay in your life, your call to this invitation is for you to look around, and if you see a need, you go and pray for that person. Now, folks, there's probably 15 people here this morning that I don't even know your names. Some of them are you come with family, with Miss Gracie. Some of you are just visitors in the community. There's some people here that I... Listen, this is not a Soda Baptist Church thing. If God has saved you, and God has cleansed you, and you have a need, you lift your hands and we will pray for you. And if you recognize someone with a need, it's okay for you to go and pray with them, okay? That's what God's family is all about. So I'm going to ask us to stand. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to simply respond to the message. I'm going to ask these men, if y'all would you come and stand right here and show as an example of what y'all have been doing this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want you to know I just think it is so great the way you have written the Word of God, even that you told Moses way back there when this took place, you said, Moses, write this thing down so it will be as a remembrance and a memorial, because as a result of this, this nation of people will never exist again. But it was an example to show the world that there is a God in heaven. God, this morning, the way you tell us that we show the world that there's a God in heaven is you have called a group of people who believed and put their faith and trust in you, and you tell us if we will show love one to another, the world will know that we are believers and that we are Christians and that there is a God in heaven. God, my prayer this morning is that we will not simply hear the word, but God will be doers of the word. God, and I'm praying if there's a need this morning, that people will be willing to express and show that need by lifting their hands. And God, that you will show that there is support in the body of believers as people respond and just simply lift up that need. God, we don't even have to say what the need is. Just signifying that just as Moses lifted up his hands with that tool over that group of people that was fighting against them, Father, all we have to do is lift our hands to signify there is a need. And God, your people will respond to that need. God, I know that this is an unusual invitation. God, I truly believe that you have called me to offer that this morning. And God, I'm praying that you will meet the needs of every individual that lifts their hands this morning as the body of believers come and pray for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.